And if you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to page 515. If you're using the Bibles in the seats, that is Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. As you're turning to there, let me just remind you the first part of this chapter is, again, just a listing of all the priests and the Levites. It was important, of course, for genealogies to be kept, and Nehemiah is reflecting that in these first few verses. But we're going to, instead of taking time to read all those names, which I would have a difficulty pronouncing, we're going to pick up with verse 27 of Nehemiah chapter 12. And as you see, this is the dedication of the wall. This is, in essence, what Nehemiah was known for. His mission in life was when he heard of the desperate straits of which the people of God were as they come back from the Babylonian captivity. God put it upon his heart to lead the people in the rebuilding of the wall. And now, towards the end of the book of Nehemiah, we have the dedication of that wall. So follow along as I read in beginning in verse 27 of Nehemiah chapter 12. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all of their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgivings, with singing, with cymbals and harps and lyres. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the districts surrounding Jerusalem and from the village of the Entophathites and also from Beth Gilgal. And from the region of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had built for themselves villages around Jerusalem. And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall. Then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. One went south on the wall to the dung gate, and after them went Hoshea and half the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Asaph, and his relatives, Shemaiah, Azarel, Milahai, Gilalai, Mai, Methanel, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe went before them. At the fountain gate, they went up straight before them by the stairs of the city of David at the ascent of the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The other choir of those who gave thanks went to the north, and I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of the ovens to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim and by the gate of Yeshanah and by the fish gate and the tower of Hananel and the tower of the hundred to the sheep gate, and they came to halt at the gate of the guard. So both choirs of those who gave thanks stood in the house of God, and I and half the officials with me, and the priests Eliakim, Maaseiah, Mananiamin, Micaiah, Elioenai, Zechariah, and Hananiah, with the trumpets, and Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Johanan, Makasijah, Elam, and Ezer. And the singers sang with Jezrahiah as their leader. And they offered great sacrifice that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. And there you have that verse that I was reciting to the young people, that God made them rejoice with great joy. What a privilege to know, even in part, the joy that's available to you in Jesus Christ. We have before us really probably an event that Nehemiah was excited about almost from the day he heard of the troubles in the people of God as they returned from the Babylonian captivity. The wall was rebuilt. And now they were having the dedication of the wall. The word dedicate means to devote earnestly something to someone or to some cause. And the people here were dedicating the wall. They were dedicating the wall as a means of thanksgiving to God for the work that they had done. Now, dedications were very common in the Old Testament. Here's just a list of some of the things that people that were dedicated. People were dedicated. The firstborn son was dedicated. You see that Samuel was dedicated. Objects were dedicated to the Lord. The tabernacle, its furnishings, the temple treasures, the musical instruments that were made for the worship. Places were dedicated, altars and things like that. The temple in Jerusalem. And events and actions were dedicated, sacrifices to God, victories in battle, feasts and festivals. All these things were dedicated. And so here we have the dedication of an object, the wall. And the dedication service was a time of great rejoicing for the people of Israel. And you remember the importance of walls in ancient times. A city without a wall was undefended. And the marauding armies and even the marauding bands could easily come into the city and attack it. There would be no way to stop them physically aside from force of arms. And so the wall being rebuilt was a very important thing. And so Nehemiah now and the people are celebrating this. So this morning we're going to look at this idea of a dedication of the wall to be set apart as something special. Consecrated to God. And so this morning we're going to look at the theme that the dedication of the wall demonstrates that Christians are to rely on and celebrate God's faithfulness. And we'll see that work out as we move through the message this morning, that we're to celebrate and rely upon God's faithfulness. I really appreciate Hudson Taylor as he, the people that were gathered around him. I've told you the story before, but Luke 11:22 has the command to have faith in God. And Hudson Taylor would remind the missionaries that were gathered to him and to the people that were converted to think of the verse as cling or hold on to God's faithfulness. My friends, are you clinging to God's faithfulness in your life? Are you holding on to it? And so the people here, they were celebrating God's faithfulness, that God had brought them through difficult times. Now, there's a couple things we need to look at before we really get into the passage. In verse 27, it talks about the Levites coming, being gathered together to Jerusalem. They were planning the big feast, and it says that they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with lyres. Then the sons of the singers were also gathered together. What was happening is that in 1 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 24, David had set aside the priests and the Levites into 24 different groups. And there would be two divisions that would be in Jerusalem for the sacrifices each month. So in essence, each division of the priests and Levites would be in Jerusalem for 2 weeks. The rest of the time, they would be in their villages. Now, you remember, of course, according to God's commands through Moses, the Levites were not given a territory in which to dwell. But they were given cities, and these cities were throughout all the 12 tribes of Israel. So they had their pasture lands. So they were there for 2 weeks, perhaps a month. But then they would go out and live in their cities. That's what's happening here. The Levites and the singers had dispersed and they were living in their lands, in their cities with their pasture lands. But Nehemiah calls them back because he wanted to have a great time of celebration. And so what we need to look at in this celebration is there's a couple of things that we need to understand as we think about God's faithfulness to his people. The first one is that the dedication of the wall was a time of celebration. And then we're going to look at the fact that it was a time of confession. And finally, it was a time of consecration. So the first thing we want to look at as we begin to understand more deeply God's faithfulness to his people and begin to rely upon it, we need to recognize that the dedication of the wall was a time of celebration. The Levites were called to Jerusalem. Because there's going to be an elaborate celebration. And notice that Nehemiah sets up these two groups of people. The one group is in verse 31 and 32. And then the other group is, I believe, a little bit later. And these groups were choirs. And then there were the leaders of the people. Now, there's a couple of interesting things to note here. You will remember that the taunt that Tobiah gave of the people as they were beginning the rebuilding of the wall in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 3, the taunt that Tobiah gave to try to discourage the people was that even if a fox would jump up on the wall, it would come down. And now you've got these large groups of people that are marching around the wall. So it's almost like if we were having a high school graduation celebration here, we might have the graduates walk into the door. They would perhaps go down each of the back aisles there, then come together, and they would gather up front. So the same thing, you have these two groups of people that were gathering together and singing celebration. It was a whole lot more than the fox. There were lots of people on this wall. And the taunt was that if a fox jumps on the wall, it will come crashing down. God truly did great things among the people by the rebuilding of the wall. The second thing I think we should note is that if you look at verse 31, it tells us that many of the leaders of the people came together. And then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall and appointed two great choirs that gave thanks. So the leaders were brought up to the wall. Now you remember that in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5, that many of the nobles refused to get involved with this work that Nehemiah was plotting. And now we don't know if they're the same people, but now the leaders of this city are gathered together to march across the wall. So after they march around the city, and then they gather together. They gather together in the temple courtyards. Again, they kind of march around and meet in the middle and then walk to the temple. And it's a great celebration. So look again at verse 43. God made them rejoice with great joy. And the women and the children also rejoiced. And the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. Those words there should recall to your mind that when the foundations of the temple were laid, they could hear the rejoicing far away. And so here, again, the people rejoicing with great joy because God, it tells us there, had called them to rejoice. And so they march around the city. The great celebration happens. And they dedicate the wall. And so what did the wall represent? Well, the wall represented protection for the city. And they realized that God had been the one that had helped them bring that about. And you remember in Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds this people from this day onward. And we rejoice in the fact that God surrounds his people, that we have the protection of God in our lives through Jesus Christ. So what is it about the Christian life that allows you to celebrate? One of the things that I find it a challenge is that in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it tells us that the people were continually in a sense of awe. I wonder, has the Church of Jesus Christ today lost the sense of awe? The people were continually in a sense of awe. And how do we regain that sense of awe? Well, I think it comes from thinking and meditating upon the great things that God has done. You know, the Christian mindset, the things upon which we allow our minds to dwell, are so important. In Psalm 104, it talks about God's great works in salvation. It talks about the trees and talks about storks. When's the last time you thought about a stork? Probably not very recently. But it talks about all of what God's creation does. And then it tells us, let my meditation be pleasing in his sight. So the psalmist is looking at all the great things that God has done in creation. The rivers, the trees, the storks. And he says, as I dwell on these things, As I dwell on the great things that God has done in creation, may my meditation be pleasing to Him. Our old version of the Psalter says, my thoughts about Him will sweet pleasure afford as I am rejoicing each day in the Lord. Are you thinking deeply about the great works of God in creation? About storks, trees, rivers? They're tremendous things. They're awesome things that God has done. But also, I think we need to, in order to establish a sense of awe, we need to meditate on God's work, great works in redemption. And this is, of course, where the Lord Jesus Christ comes in. We know that the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And so here we have protection from enemy bands, enemy armies. But we know that Jesus Christ is there to protect His people. Our Psalm of the month, Psalm 103, is, remember, it starts off, but all that's in within me, bless His holy name, and forget none of His benefits. And then He begins to list the benefits: who forgives your sins, who heals your diseases, who crowns you with loving kindness. All these things, all these benefits that we have in Jesus. I pray that you might take some time and meditate on those lists of benefits that we have in God. And that God would use that to renew a sense of awe in your life. And that God would renew a sense of celebration in your life. I don't know that the church today does a great job of celebrating. Maybe we need to figure out ways to celebrate, not only as individuals, but as a body. So the dedication of the wall reminds us of God's great faithfulness and reminds us of the need to celebrate. As Christians, we need to celebrate. We need to learn to jump for joy because of all the benefits that we have in Jesus. But the next thing we need to recognize is that the dedication of the wall was a time of confession. Now, by confession here, I don't mean the acknowledgement of sin. That's, of course, a very important discipline. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But by confession here, I mean an agreement for certain things. In this case, agreement for what God has done. It's a profession of belief and acknowledgement of what God has done. And the people here were, in essence, acknowledging the work of God. Although it's not mentioned here in the text, if you go back to Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, it talks about the wall being completed in 52 days, which is a remarkable time, apparently. And it talks about the enemies recognizing, and even the enemies recognize that the wall was rebuilt in 52 days. Again, go back and look at Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. Even the enemies, the ones that were taunting them about the fox, they recognized that the wall was rebuilt with the help of God. And so the people here, as they're celebrating this marvelous event, this dedication of the wall that was built with the help of God, we have to remember the help that we have in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 126, it talks about that God has done great things for them. And you remember in Psalm 126, it even says that the nations acknowledge that God has done great things for His people. Who are the people in your life that will readily acknowledge that God has done great things for you? In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we find these words. These are the words of Hezekiah as the king of Assyria is coming against him. And it says, Hezekiah's words are to the people of Jerusalem, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, nor because of the horde that is with him. For the one with us is greater than the one with him. With him, with the king of Assyria, is only an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people relied on the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. You see, Hezekiah realized that the Lord was with them. And the Lord was there to fight their battles. Just as the people and the nations realized that the wall was built with the help of God, and that the nations were saying God has done great things for them, so Hezekiah acknowledges that God is with his people. With the king of Assyria was a great horde. But with the people of God is the arm of the Lord our God. And my friends, we have to recognize the beauty of having the Lord as our God. Our little theme verse that we put upon our letterhead is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which tells us that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so our little motto is proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ so that we might live, love, and serve in his victory. Proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ is what we were called to do. As these people were rejoicing in the dedication of the temple, they were acknowledging that God was doing it, because the people here, like you see in verse 30, the people there were to give thanks. To whom were they giving thanks? Obviously to God. So they were acknowledging, they were confessing the greatness of God and that God had done great things in their life. So if you would make a list of the great things that God has done for you, what would be at the top of your list? Matthew Henry said this: "Do not be afraid of saying too much in the praises of our God. All danger is of saying too little." Do you think you're in danger of saying too much in the praise of Jesus Christ? You cannot do that. The danger is in saying too little about our Lord Jesus Christ. So it was a demonstration of their thanksgiving, of their confession that God had done great things for them. Let me ask you this question. What are the things for which you are trusting God to do in your life right now? You see, our God's a God that does great things. For what are you trusting him to do in your life right now? Do you have a list? Do you have things that you're praying? What are you trusting God to do in your life right now? Hudson Taylor says that there were three phases to every work of God. Every great work of God, he said. First, it is impossible. Second phase, it is difficult. The third phase, it is done. What are the things for which you're giving thanks to God? And what are the things that you're trusting him to do in your life? So it was a time of celebration. It was a time of confession. The dedication of the wall, lastly, was a time of consecration. You'll notice in verse 30 that they gathered together, and it says, "And the priests and the Levites purified themselves, and they purified the people and the gates and the wall." We don't know exactly what they were doing, but the priests and the Levites went through some sort of purification ceremony. And I just noticed this was before the celebration. So before the celebration, there was consecration. We don't know exactly what it was. There was obviously some animal sacrifices that went on. There might have been some sprinkling of the walls with water to symbolize cleansing, sprinkling of the people. We don't know what it was, but they were obviously consecrating themselves. The consecration preceded the celebration. So, my friends, as we look at this passage, and as we consider the faithfulness of God, it was the faithfulness of God that caused these people to give thanks, that caused them and allowed them to build the wall. So as we look at these things, we need to recognize that God blesses those whose heart is completely his. That's what it tells us in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I want to ask you this morning, is that true of you? Does your heart belong completely to him? Before the celebration, there is a time of consecration. There are two questions that have come to us from missionaries, and in many respects they've haunted me since the day I read them. Perhaps a more gentle word, but I think haunt is good. A more gentle word is motivate or challenge me. But I like the word haunt. Let me give you the two questions. It's one I've given you before. As John Payton, the probably most well-known missionary to the Pacific Islands, as he was reflecting on the time where he had to leave his dear father to go to begin his journey to the mission field, he reminded himself of how devoted his father was to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as he thinks of their parting, he wrote these words. Do you remember them? He walked with God, speaking of his father. He walked with God. Why may not I? My friends, you have the privilege in Jesus Christ to walk with God. Are you treasuring that? Is that privilege an important thing to you? He walked with God. Why may not I? You have that privilege to walk with God in Jesus Christ. Are you living that out? The second question that's haunted me comes from Pauline Hamilton, who was a missionary to China and then to Taiwan. God did remarkable things to her life. As she was a young adult, she was quite sick. And she went to some specialists and they said, there's nothing we can do for you. Basically just saying you're just going to die. On her way home, she stopped by some. And by the way, Pauline Hamilton, as a teenager, was planning to commit suicide, but God intervened and stopped it. But then she became gravely ill. As she was coming home from the doctor's, she stopped by a pastor's house, and the mother of the pastor happened to be there. After explaining what had happened, the mother of the pastor said to her, Pauline, have you ever given thanks that God may be calling you to himself, that God may be leading you to your death? She went home and pondered what the mother of the pastor had said, and a great peace came over her. And then she said in her own words that she felt like God were saying to her, may I not have the life that I already bought? You see, the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. May I not have the life that I already bought? My friends, does Jesus have the life that he died to pay for it? May I not have the life that I already bought? He walked with God. Why may not I? So I want to encourage you this morning to think of these three things. The celebration, the confession, the consecration. All three are important for the Christian life. Celebration, confession, acknowledgement of what Jesus has done, and consecration of our lives to his service. So celebration is an important thing for the people to do back then. They gave thanks to God. Celebration is an important thing for you to do today. It's an important thing for you to do on Tuesday. It's an important thing for you to do next Thursday. It's an important thing for you to do on July 1st and September 15th. And you can fill in the rest of the days. We need to learn to celebrate, to have that sense of awe, to recover that sense of awe that God has done great things for us. Again, Psalm 126, even the nations agreed that God had done great things for his people. We need to learn to celebrate, to live in that devotion. So I want to ask you again, may Jesus have the life that he already paid for? Will you give your life in service to him? You see, my friend, it's only the dead that truly live. I'm going to repeat that. It's only the dead that truly live. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is only the dead that truly live. Jesus said to the crowds, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one that will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. My friends, let's celebrate. And let's celebrate by speaking well of Jesus. You cannot speak too well of him. I believe it was George Mueller that said, I love to speak well of him. Let's celebrate. Let's acknowledge the great things that God has done for you in Jesus. And I encourage you once again to dedicate yourself to his service. For he does great things. Let's pray together. Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that there are so many reasons for us to rejoice because of Jesus. And so, God, help us to regain that sense of awe that the early church had as they saw you at work and saw people come to faith and saw you change people's lives. Lord, I'm sure each one of us can, if we're in Christ, can acknowledge great things, great changes that you've brought into our lives. We acknowledge that you are the God that does great things, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. And thank you, God, that you sent Jesus to pay the price so that we might belong to you. Help us to give our lives to him, to you, in service to you for your great kingdom. May we walk with you. May you have the life that you paid for each one of us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.